Father in heaven, thank you for uplifting Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Today, Lord, we would lift him up in your word, and we claim your promise that as you are lifted up, that you will draw all men to you, everyone. May we be drawn to you is our prayer today. In Jesus' holy, precious name, amen. There's a question that you're asking, I'm asking, everyone is asking. The entire community of Sutherland is asking. The entire state of Oregon, everyone in this whole world is really asking this question. They may not realize it, but they are seeking an answer to this question. How can I have a life that measures with the life of God? How can I make all that I've done wrong right? The wrong things that I've done, the wrong thing that I am. How can I solve that problem? In other words, what we're really saying is, how can I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That's the question that people are asking today. Of all the books in the entire Bible that so skillfully and so beautifully uplifts Jesus Christ and talks with us about the answer to that question, how can I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, is the book of Romans. Perhaps one of my favorite books, is it yours too? And I remember our first time I took you on a journey through Romans, and it's going to be a long journey. We're in no hurry. We'll preach along the way, and we'll preach many other subjects and stuff from the Word of God, but along the way we'll get back to Romans again. We're going to be on a journey through Romans. We began our journey at Outdoor Church, remember? Where I presented a message, thank God for the book of Romans. And I would invite you to turn with me now to Romans chapter 1. There at Outdoor Church, we turned to Romans 1 and we looked at verses 1 through 3. Let's look at it again. Verses 1, 2, and 3 of Romans chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. As we recall, we stopped on our journey for a drink. And it's well to drink at least 8 glasses of water a day. And we're gonna drink at least 3 glasses today. So, if you're thirsty, if you're looking for something from God's Word, and you want to come closer to Jesus Christ, let's stop here and drink at verse 3 yet a little bit more. There in verse 3, this gospel that the Apostle Paul preached concerned itself with who? What does it say there in verse 3? Concerned itself with Jesus Christ. And I found it very interesting as I looked up that word, concerning, I looked it up in the original language, and it really means around or surround. I like that, don't you? In other words, the gospel, this picture of God through Jesus Christ, righteousness by faith, concerns itself not alone about Jesus Christ, but it surrounds him. It is all around him. He is the center. He is the focus. He is the hub. He is the pivot. He is the foundation. He is the life-giving article, an artery. And everything that we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians teach, everything that we preach, everything that we do, everything that we are, should make Jesus Christ, a relationship with him, central. Amen? And that reminds me of the time when Annetta and myself, we were at a particular mall up in Portland. We walked through the door, and there in the walkways that are usually open, now were all the artists and the photographers and their wares selling beautiful paintings and photography. Oh, it was just something to see. And I paused along the way and looked at the paintings. They were all so nice. And I really was really moved by the beautiful frames that were around many of the paintings and photographs. And as I thought about that, and as I prepared this message, I thought, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What an illustration. What an illustration. You see, the thought comes to mind is this, the gospel concerning Jesus Christ, our righteousness by faith, can be likened to a beautiful painting, a beautiful photograph. It stands alone. It doesn't need a frame. It stands alone. And yet, as I go to the Word of God, as I study my Bible, I discover that God puts many different frames around the picture, the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these frames can be likened to Bible truths, Bible doctrines. Now, think about this. Like a beautiful painting, the painting is what should get our attention. The photograph should get our attention. The picture of Jesus Christ should get our attention. The frame should not take away from what is central, what should get our attention. The purpose of the frame is to complement the picture. And so thus, the purpose of the good news of the gospel, the picture of God's character through Jesus Christ, is not to be taken away by any Bible truth that we should teach or preach. And so every Bible truth should give us a clear picture of what our Lord Jesus is like. We should be drawn not to the frame, but to the picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says here in Romans, the first chapter in verse 3, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Concerning His Son, not concerning our feelings. Now if you're anything like me, I have been tempted throughout my life, and I'll be tempted even as I leave here today. I'll be tempted to depend on my feelings as to whether I'm a child of God or not. Can you relate? We all face that. But the Word of God is telling us here that this gospel concerning Jesus Christ should be grounded. The basis of it should be our acceptance with God is not on our feelings, but upon who He is, Jesus Christ. And I know from experience that if I base my acceptance with God on how I feel, there are days when I'm up and there are the days I'm down. And if I go that way, then when I'm up, wow, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. Everything is great. This is good. But then there are those days I have those down days. And I say, boy, I don't know if I'm a child of God or not. I don't know if He loves me or accepts me. I'm not too sure about this. It would be well for us to learn a Christian principle very early. And it goes like this. Someone shared it with me. I want to share it with you. Be my feelings what they will, Jesus is my Savior still. Say it out loud with me, will you? Be my feelings what they will, Jesus is my Savior still. And so this gospel concerning Jesus Christ here in verse 3 is concerning Jesus Christ, not our feelings. And in God's own time, He'll give us feelings or no feelings. But never, never, underline this, never wait for the feeling. Never wait for the feeling. Faith is believing in God, feeling or no feeling. And I can relate to that. I think you can too as well. In my library, I have a book. It's entitled Faith and Works. And the Christian writer on page 36 says this. This is awesome. It says this, quote, we must believe the naked promises and not accept feeling for faith. That's powerful. And so I base my assurance. I want to invite you to base your assurance that God accepts you in Christ, not on the basis of how you feel, but on the naked promises of God. And think about some of those promises that we should go to, we should take a hold of, that on the basis of not how I feel today, but on the basis of Your Word, Lord, I accept that You have accepted me. as your child, that Jesus Christ is my Savior, what are some of those promises? John chapter 3, verse 16, of course. Let's say it out loud together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that anyone who believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow, there's a promise. Claim that promise. Hold on to that promise. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 is one of my favorites. And it goes like this. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become sons, and let's add, daughters of God. Be my feelings what they will, and they will, Jesus is my Savior still. Now, on what basis? On what basis? Jesus loves me, this I know, because I feel it so? No, I don't want to change the song. It's a lot better the way we sing it today. Yeah. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me. With this review, let's continue our journey. Journey through this awesome book of Romans. And we're going to stop along the way at least two times here as we go through the salutation, the special greeting that the Apostle Paul gives here in verses 7 through 15. He gives a greeting to the Christians in Rome. And I want us to stop for another drink of water. At least three glasses of water today. Good water from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to stop here at verse 7. Call to be saints. We'll stop there. Now, those of you that have the King James Version of the Bible or the New King James Version, which I happen to have the New King James. You notice, if you look real close, the little expression, to be, is in italics. You know what that means when it's in italics? It means it's not in the original. It's been added. And so the American Standard Version, which really is almost the clearest word-for-word translation of the Bible, it goes like this, called as saints, or called saints. That's the clearer translation. And I find this very interesting. I find this very fascinating because, you see, before Paul goes on in this great book of Romans and tells us how we should live obedient Christian lives, he says to you and me, he says to the Roman Christians, God has called you saints. He's called you a saint. Now listen to this. Holy living begins at that point where we recognize that God accepts us before we have any such thing. When I realize that God loves me, when I go to His Word and I say, wow, He loves me. He accepts me in His Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, it is at that point when I realize in my heart, God does love me. God does accept me in His Son, Jesus Christ. It is at that point that I can seek to keep His commandments from my heart. From my heart. And I speak from experience, friends, that before that time, prior to that time, it's just a works program. It's a works program. This is the difference between being a Seventh-day Adventist and being a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Amen? It really is. I want to share with you an awesome story, a great illustration, right in the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 19. So would you keep your bookmark there in Romans chapter 1, and let's go over to Luke the 19th chapter. Here is that great story of Zacchaeus, that rich tax collector. He was rich, he had a lot of wealth, he had a lot of position in town, and yet he didn't have any friends. And if you know what it's like to have money and to have position, but not to have friends, that is to be lonely and unhappy. And such a man was Zacchaeus. Everyone detested his name. They didn't like his person. And one day he heard, as he walked around in town, and everybody was trying to kind of ignoring him, and they heard the words, Jesus is coming to town. Jesus, he healed my husband. I was blind and now I see. Jesus is coming to town. He helped me. And people were talking about Jesus. People were wanting to see Jesus. And I wondered, in that kind of atmosphere, as he heard this, what was Zacchaeus thinking? I believe with all my heart that the Spirit of God was wooing this lost man to himself. He too wanted to see Jesus Christ. Maybe Jesus can help me. Maybe he can help me. But he had one small problem. You know the story, don't you? He had one small problem. He was a small man. And he knew that because he was not popular and accepted by the people, that he would get in the crowd and they would elbow him out and he'd have no opportunity to see Jesus. But he was desperate. His life was a wreck, and in spite of the fact that he had money and position, he realized how helpless and hopeless he was. He needed and a desire to have purpose in his life, meaning in his life, as I trust that you do as well. And he thought, Jesus has helped others. I can hear that. I can see that he has helped others. Could he help me? Yes, I believe he can. I believe he can. I must see this Jesus. I must see this Jesus. And so up the tree, the short man goes. Now, I used to climb trees. In fact, it was because I climbed a tree and I got up to the very top showing off to girls that I broke my jaw on both times, both sides. So I'll have to tell the boys and girls that story someday. But I know how to climb trees. And even a short man, if you want to see something, if you want to get up there and get those cherries, you will climb that tree. Jesus knew that. And he walked by that tree. And Zacchaeus is up in that tree. So I want you to follow the story because we're getting to the best part. Zacchaeus is up in that tree and suddenly everybody stops. And everybody looks up. And Jesus looks up because he's looking up into the tree at Zacchaeus. And for the first time in Zacchaeus' life, he gets to see Jesus face to face. And his face, Jesus' face, stood out among all the other faces that he saw looking down that tree. And it wasn't that Jesus' face was a beautiful face, but it was different. And I trust and pray that as people look into your face, they'll see a different face. As they looked down, as he looked down to that tree and he looked at these other faces, he saw faces that were angry faces. He saw tired faces. He saw accusing faces. He saw jealous faces. But in the face of Jesus, he saw a kind face, a friendly face. I'd like to say he saw a face of grace. In this face of Jesus, not a beautiful face, but in this face, Jesus said, in essence, I care about you. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. I still care about you. Jesus had a grace face. And from that friendly grace face of Jesus, he spoke these words that are recorded for us right here in Luke, the 19th chapter. And take a look at verses, starting with verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, now, did he say it this way? Zacchaeus, you come down here right now, and I'm coming to your house today. Is that what he said? I will never forget when our youngest boy, Brent, he climbed up when we used to live in Coquille. He climbed up the tallest tree. He would pick the tallest tree, wouldn't he? And he was up there. Our eldest boy runs inside. Dad, he's up in the tree. He's up in the tree. And I run over there, and there it was at the very top of the tree. And I remember what happened to me. And so I have to confess to you that I didn't say it like Jesus said it. And Jesus said it so kindly, so lovingly, and not the way I first said it. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come on down. Today, I'm going to stay at your house. That wasn't the way I said it. Brent, I want you down right now. Come on down. Come on. Come on down. And he came down. And Zacchaeus, here was this lost sinner. And he was close to becoming a saint. I want you to notice how Zacchaeus became a saint. This is very, very important. You see, the gospel of justification by faith is how a sinner can become right with God. And that's the first five chapters of the book of Romans. They're great chapters. We'll look at them along the way. What is the gospel anyway? What is the gospel? Sometimes the best way to understand the gospel is to understand what the gospel is not. The gospel is not make yourself better and then Jesus will love you and accept you and forgive you. That is not the gospel. You want to hear the gospel? The gospel is Jesus loves you in your filth. Jesus loves you in your degradation, in your selfishness, in your perversity, and your perversion. Jesus loves you, and He wants for you to come to Him just as you are. Admitting your great need for Him. And I think about it. Is that biblical? Well, I think it is. Isn't that the way the leper came to Jesus? Just as he is and was. Isn't that the way the blind man came to Jesus? Just as he was. That's the way Zacchaeus came to Jesus, just as he was. Now listen, friends, at that very moment, Zacchaeus became a saint. At that very moment. Now, can you imagine that? He became a saint at that very moment, not because of something that he had done, not because of some great deeds that he had performed, but because of what God, through Jesus Christ, had done for him. That's the gospel. And on that basis, Zacchaeus and every sinner is saved through the righteous deeds of God's Son, Jesus Christ. As Romans, the first chapter, verse 7, says it so beautifully, so simply, called saints. Called saints. Now, please notice this. Notice this. As Zacchaeus came to realize, and you and I need to realize every day this, as Zacchaeus came to realize that Jesus loves me. Jesus accepts me. Jesus forgives me. It was at that point that Zacchaeus wanted a change in his life. It is at that point he wanted to honor and keep his commandments. It is that at that point. And thus the fruit of the gospel took place. And sometimes we use the big word sanctification. Well, let's put it this way. Sanctification by a faith that works by love. That's what it's all about. Let's read about it right here in Luke chapter 19, verses 8 and 9. It's right here. Look at it. And then Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham." What did Zacchaeus say from his heart when he realized that he was loved and accepted in forgiveness? What did he say? He said, Lord, I'm going to make things right. I'm going to make things right. Now, hear me out. That's the right order. That's the right order. First, we must accept His grace, and then by His grace, we are enabled to be changed. And where there is no sanctification, it's evident that there is no justification. Where there is no holiness and change in one's life, it is obvious that one has not given their lives to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, let's go back. Did you keep your bookmark in Romans chapter 1? Let's go back now to Romans, the first chapter. And as you're turning there, let me remind you again, here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7,
even before it tells us that we're to do this or to do that, or we don't do that, or we should do this, even before it does that, that it teaches us that through accepting Jesus Christ as our righteousness by faith, we are called saints. And Zacchaeus became a saint the moment that he accepted Jesus Christ. And so it is with every Christian, I should say every sinner, who trusts in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And immediately they receive a new name. I like that, don't you? A new name, a new title, saint. Saint. Now I know that our Christian friends of the Catholic Church, they have another understanding of sainthood. But we're going to the Word of God here. Listen carefully to what God has to say. We have a new motto, and it goes like this. Christ died for me. The least I can do is to live for Him. Amen. Let's say that out loud together. Christ died for me. The least I can do is to live for Him. And to live for Him springs from faith in Him. I want to live. I want to be obedient for my Lord Jesus Christ. I want to keep His commandments, but I want to be able to keep them the right way. I want to be a Christian as I keep His commandments and not a legalist. And thus, I keep them by faith and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And so that's why we need to go to another drinking fountain right here in Romans chapter 1 and go to Romans chapter 1 verse 5. Take a look at it here as we go back to this great book of Romans. Chapter 1 and verse 5. Through Him we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience of the faith among all nations for His name. Now, that little expression, how many times I have passed this drinking fountain, I don't know, but finally I've stopped and I've drank from it. And it's powerful. I see here, right from the very beginning, the Apostle Paul is saying, if you want to know what kind of obedience I'm going to talk about throughout the rest of the book of Romans, this is it. It's the obedience of faith. Well, Pastor Ken, would you explain that? What does that mean? What does that mean? It means this. The obedience that springs from a faith relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's talking about here. That's the kind of obedience that the Apostle Paul is going to be talking about throughout the book of Romans. And that's the kind of obedience that Pastor Kent has been preaching about ever since he's been here. And this is the truth that changed me from being a Seventh-day Adventist to becoming a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I want to ask you a question. And the way we answer this question, the way that you and I answer this question, will determine if we're a Christian like Zacchaeus or a legalist like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. Are you ready? Here's the question. Why do you obey? Why do you obey? Why do you choose to keep the commandments of God? Why do you choose to honor and keep the standards of the church? Why do you obey the doctrines and the teachings of the Word of God as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian? Why do you obey? Think about it. Do you obey? Because if you don't, God will not accept you. And you won't be good enough and righteous enough and perfect enough to go to heaven. Now think about that. If you and I choose to obey on that basis, then friends, you and I are then living a life of the legalist. The life of the legalist. Trying to be good by not being bad. Do you and I obey to obtain God's acceptance of us? Then we are not living the life of the Christian. We're living the life of a legalist. Why do you obey? Why did Zacchaeus obey? If you obey because you have accepted God's acceptance of you in His Son, Jesus Christ, then you are a Christian. If you obey because you know in your heart, on the basis of the Word of God, God loves me. I see that in His Word. He accepts me and He has forgiven me. And I want to accept His love and His forgiveness and acceptance of me. If you first of all, from the beginning and to the end, always, every day, if you accept that, then in response to that, obey, then you are a Christian. You see, you and I either accept the righteousness of Christ or we go about to establish our own righteousness. Does that make sense? We either submit to what God has already done for us in Jesus Christ, who has already obtained salvation for us already, and we respond to His love, we respond to His acceptance and forgiveness through a life of obedience. Or we obey to attain it ourselves. Take your pick. I want to invite us to make a decision today, or to reaffirm the decision that we've already made in Jesus Christ. And to help us to think this through, I would invite us to close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed, who would like to do this, help us to concentrate on what I'm trying to say. What has been the tendency of your focus and emphasis? Be honest. Has it been concerning Christ, surrounding Christ, or has it been upon something else? I remember the words of Steps to Christ, "Of whom do you love to converse? Of whom do you love to think? Of whom? Not of what, but of whom?" When you seek to live and share the doctrines and the standards of the Bible, is Jesus Christ, a relationship with Him, the major emphasis and the focus of that doctrine or that standard? Or have you found yourself putting more emphasis and attention to the doctrines and the standards and to the sins in the church, so much so that Jesus, His love, His character, the cross, is almost lost sight of? Friend, are you drawing attention to the frame or to the picture, Jesus Christ? When you obey, is your obedience motivated from a love and relationship with Jesus Christ and appreciation of His character? Are you learning day by day through His Word and prayer that He can be trusted, that God has paid an awesome price, a high price for the redemption? And in response to that love and acceptance, you obey and you long to become more and more like Jesus in character? Or is your obedience, is it motivated not by looking to Christ, your righteousness, not by looking at His character, His love, but by looking at your progress in the Christian life, your good deeds versus your bad deeds? And you just can't bring yourself to know the joy of Christian living because you're still seeking to attain the perfection of character so that God will accept you? You can open your eyes now. Friends, are you beginning to see the differences between these two gospels? You see the difference between these two gospels? One gospel, the true gospel, and the other one is a counterfeit. One will make you a Christian, the other will make you into a modern-day Pharisee. Are you ready to make a decision for Jesus Christ? Are you ready to reaffirm your decision in Jesus Christ? Loving Father, thank You for bringing us here today to Sabbath School and church. Thank You that we have opened our hearts. We have heard Your Word. You have answered the questions. Help us now to respond to this awesome love. Thank You that You do forgive us. You did that on the cross of Calvary. You revealed Your love and Your life and Your death and Your resurrection. We have fallen in love with You, Lord. May we live for You now, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.